How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 16. Here, the Lord Jesus going from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. He said unto them in the latter part of the end of chapter 14, arise, let us go hence. And so as they walk along the way, seemingly, the Lord Jesus instructs them about he being the vine and they being the branches. He gives a promise of the Comforter unto his church, and that Holy Spirit work, many things that the Holy Spirit of God does. And so we have that promise, and we'll see other verses as we go along these chapters. In regards to the Comforter, we have seen that there has been an earlier reference there in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. In 16, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments, verse 16 of John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And I believe that's speaking of to the Lord's church. The Spirit of God does live within the believer. That is how we are saved. That's how we are born again, is by the Spirit of God giving us life to our naturally dead spirit. But this work of the Comforter is a special thing that the Lord is going to do within his churches, and a promise that his churches have. And even in 1 John, in the epistles of 1 John in chapter 2, the apostle John speaks about this Comforter, or this unction that we have. And that is, I believe, that work of the Spirit within the church. In John chapter 16, the Lord continues on here in verse number 1 and says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. He said, I'm telling you things in advance, so you won't be offended when they come. So you won't be so hurt that you'll quit, that you'll have confidence in me, that I know things that are going to come to pass before they come to pass. Jesus Christ declares in the book of the Revelation that he is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And indeed he is. We can rest in him. He knows what's ahead. He knows what needs to be done. He knows what he wants to take us through for his honor and his glory, and we can rest in him. It says here in John chapter 6, he tells them in 16, verse 1, I'm telling you these things so you won't be offended. And then in John chapter 6, with that group that was following around the Lord with a free lunch, there were those that said here, in John 6:60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And so they were offended. The Lord asked the disciples that remained, the apostles, verse number 66 of that same chapter 6, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? So see, the Lord is in control, and their faith and confidence was in the Lord Jesus. What the Lord says, it goes, and it is the truth. And he is even able to tell his church the things that are going to come to pass before they do so they might be encouraged in the Lord, not be offended. Verse 2 of chapter 16, they shall put you out of the synagogues, he tells them in advance. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. So there'll be those that think that they're doing well by God Almighty, And it turns out they are doing the disobedient wickedness of men and of Satan. And these things will they do, verse 3, unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. They'll do what they think is right to hang on to the religion that they have. The thing is religion is not salvation. Religion is not pleasing to God, but obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the good word of God, that is pleasing to God Almighty, God the Father and God the Son. They'll do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. See, Jesus was with his church. Oh, what a blessing. Jesus was right there walking with his church, with his disciples, with those he had saved and called and said unto them, come follow me. He was right there with them, and there was not a need, because Jesus protected them. Jesus watched care over them. Jesus gave them strength, and Jesus answered their questions. Jesus told them the truth. But now, coming to the time of the end of his ministry and when he's going to ascend to the Father after his crucifixion and resurrection, he tells them, he says, at that time I didn't tell you because I'm here with you, but there's coming a time that these things will be. Yeah, they're going to put you out of the synagogue. And to be put out of the synagogue for a Jew was a terrible thing. Yet the thing is Jesus is taking the keys of the kingdom from the nation of Israel and giving them to his church. He is building his church. The apostles are those foundational stones, and that foundation and doctrine and the things that they will write and will preach. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and he is building his church on the foundation that he has chosen and that he is building on, and his church is being built upon even himself. He says, they're going to abuse you, and they're going to think that they're doing God a service, but they haven't known the Father nor myself. He said, I've told you these things that you might remember when they come to pass. And he said, I didn't need to tell you beforehand because I was with you. Verse 5, but now I go my way unto him that sent me, and none of you ask of me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Oh, yes, to have Jesus at hand, it would be sorrowful. But the thing is that the Lord has promised a comforter in his stead, and he'll be and is just as real as Jesus at hand. As long as we're sensitive to the Lord, as long as we're sensitive to the Spirit, as long as we're filled with his word, and long as his joy has filled ours, he is just as real. The work of the comforter is just as real in the Lord's church as the presence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we long to see Jesus, and we long to be with him through eternity. And we desire him, but the thing is he's given us what we need for this time. But because I have said these things unto you, verse 6, sorrow hath filled your heart. He's going his way. He's got to go his way. It's essential that he return to the right hand of the Father. It is necessary, because one day he's coming back. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Comforter is coming. The Comforter is going to be sent by the Lord Jesus. And the Comforter is real and will be with his church. And then I find these verses very interesting here. This is very interesting to me. Again, the Lord is there with his disciples. He's walking with them on the way to Gethsemane, it seems. And in verse number 8 of John 16, the Lord Jesus says this, and when he is come, that is the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in his church, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And so he says here, the Comforter, when he has come, and he's going to come when Jesus has gone from his church, when the Comforter comes, he's going to do some things. He says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. And we go on down here in verse number 9, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, or they believe, the world believes not on Jesus. So what's that all about? Is the Comforter going to come and he's going to be doing this reproving down the highways and byways of the world? Will he be audibly heard by mankind and men, women, boys and girls in the earth as he reproves of sin? What is that reproving of sin? It's a warning. It's a warning. Don't go that wicked way. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, this wickedness, this sin that's at hand that mankind is just enveloped in. Flee from it. Flee to the Savior for forgiveness of sin. Will the Spirit be going down the highways and byways telling this account? No, we don't hear the Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God doing so. But he does do so through his churches. The Comforter is going to be there. And one of the promises that we have about the Comforter is that he's going to grant the power and ability of his churches to speak about sin and wickedness and depravity, to continue to uphold and declare what the Lord Jesus declared, that there is no cloak for sin, but sin has been manifested, and we are guilty. You are guilty. A guilty sinner before the Lord. And the Comforter, through his church being a mouthpiece, his ministers and his children being a witness and a testifier of the sin at hand and amongst mankind, and that Jesus is the only remedy for it. What's he say here? Of sin, because they believe not on me. Why did Jesus come? To save his people from their sins. But if one won't believe in Jesus, they don't believe that there's a necessity about their sin. See that? The Spirit is going to reprove the world through the church of sin. And Jesus says the reason for reproving the world of sin is because they believe not on me. It's necessary to believe on Jesus. It's the only way a sinner can be saved. The only way a sinner can be saved is by repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to be a sacrifice for his people's sins. And so the Comforter is going to do this through the Lord's churches. And that'll be part of the work, part of the threefold work that they will do. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.